Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
When I was 10 years old, my parents gave me the gift of a new bicycle. And they gave me certain kinds of advice about this bicycle. Remember, don't leave it out in the rain. Lock it up when you take it to school. And Steve, why is your bicycle in the neighbor's driveway? All of these and others, I'm sure, ways of saying, Steve, take good care of your gift. This congregation is a gift of God. God has given us His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in His name that we gather. He is the reason that we are here. He is the gift of God sent into the world by His Father, that in Him we may share eternal life and be gathered together as the body of Christ, the fellowship of believers. The fact that we are here, the fact that we are Congregational Presbyterian Church, is a gift of God. And in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, He gives us the gift of each other. He gives us one another as brothers and sisters in Christ because of our common belief in Him. The gift of each other is the gift of being able to come together and to love one another as God has loved us. For us to come together to share our needs with each other, so that we may pray for one another, that we may support each other, especially in times of struggle, in times of lack. This gift that God has given us, a church where we can worship His Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we gather, where we can be together and care for each other and love one another as the family of God, is a gift that we need to take good care of. God has given us the gift. Scripture is clear. But it's also clear that you and I have the responsibility to care for this gift, to use well what God has given to us. So how do we best do that? How do we best ensure that this wonderful gift continues to be all that God desires for it to be in giving it to us in the first place? How do we ensure that this gift thrives, that this gift grows, that this gift continues to give glory to God our Father through His Son, Jesus Christ? By the guiding of the Holy Spirit. There are many places in Scripture to which we can turn to receive an answer to that question. For the answer is multifaceted. The place I chose for this morning is from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus in chapter 4. Reading the first three verses. How do we care for this gift? Paul speaking says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." How will this gift of God continue to flourish? It will continue to flourish if you, its people, are willing to be humble. That's Paul's first word in what it means to live a life worthy of the calling, worthy of the gift that he has given us. We might think the first word is like love or be supportive or work hard or be better than you really are or something like that. Paul says, be humble. Give God the credit more than giving any individual or group within the church the credit. Praise God more than you praise anyone for anything that happens related to his gift. Love God more than you love anyone or anything else associated with this gift, especially including yourself. Paul knows of what he speaks. The greatest detriment to the gift of the church of God is pride. Prideful people who believe that they are the gift to the church, who believe that their opinions, their thoughts, their idea, their vision is God's gift. And that humility needs to start with the pastor, the one who is called to shepherd and teach the church. Humility. If it does not begin there with the pastor and with each individual person, the gift will not flourish. But if there is humility, if there is a true sense that this is God's church, not my church, that Christ is Lord of the church, not some individual or group among us, if humility is our earmark, then naturally follows these other wonderful characteristics that will allow the gift to be taken well care of. Gentleness, patience, forbearance, unity, peace. What a wonderful place it is when such things are characteristic of the people who are part of it. It will only happen if there is humility. But if there is humility, it will happen. That's the promise of God. That is the way we take good care of the church, the gift that He has given to us. It is the way in which we are worthy as people to live according to His call as a congregation. Humility that leads to all the other wonderful aspects of what it means to be a true church before God, the one who has given us the gift. The unity of the church is going to grow out of that gift. The peaceful interaction of its people will grow out of that gift. The way in which we can be patient with one another, forbearing with each other. A nice, polite way of saying having to put up with each other. The way that we can be gentle in our engagement with each other is who we're willing to be humble. And of course, before we begin to think that this sounds like somewhat of a weak kind of way to say this is where the church is grounded in its people, is in their humility, we only have to look to the Lord of our church. We only have to look to the King of the kingdom of God in which we live and which we are called to live before others. For what was it in the Christ, the Son of God, that brought Him into this world, that caused Him to serve you and me, that led Him to the cross? And the Creator of the universe allowed Himself to be crucified for you and for me so He could give us the gift of the church. What does the Bible say caused Him to do that? Humility. Humility. If there's anyone who should not had to have been humble for anything He had done, it was Jesus. And yet He humbled Himself. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, He humbled Himself. I mean, no one else is going to humble Him. He humbled Himself. He chose humility. And because He chose humility, all else followed. He came down. He lived. He served. He cared. He taught. He preached. He brought the kingdom of God. And then He allowed Himself to be killed in order to be raised again on the third day, so that you and I may join with Him in an eternal life that begins its journey right here in this gift, which is the church of God. If any of us struggle a little bit with humility as being the key for the flourishing of Congregational Presbyterian Church, I suggest we take a closer look at Jesus himself. When I was called to be pastor of this church, I came believing that this was a congregation that desired to live worthy of its call. I came believing that this was a congregation that took seriously its mission statement to know Christ, to become like Christ, to share Christ. I came to this congregation believing that the gifts that God had given me for ministry were gifts that He would use fruitfully in this place. And as I look at these past 18 years with all of you, all of those beliefs and many more beside have come to fruition. I don't want to tell you how wonderful a church you are, because then I'll just be speaking against what I just said. You'll get too full of pride and of yourselves. For those who didn't hear that, and those at home, the comment was, oh, go ahead. And you do deserve for me to go ahead. I won't hear. I think there'll be more opportunity for that later today and also personally. But you are a wonderful church. Notice I didn't say perfect church. If so, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have been the right pastor for you if you were a perfect church, because my imperfection would have messed it up. But you're a wonderful church because you embraced a love for God. You have embraced a love for one another. And you have embraced a love for your pastor, allowing me to be the pastor teacher to which God has called me, that I may share with you the grace of God and the knowledge of God's Word. You have been a congregation that cares for one another, that seeks to be united in Christ. You are a congregation that understands the importance of humility. Not for its own sake, certainly not so one can brag of one's humility, but because it is at the very foundation of what it means to be all that God has called us to be and to do. This is a blessed church. And if you continue to take good care of the gift that God has given you, it will continue to be a blessed church. When I first began in full-time Christian ministry, I worked with youth and families. God then called me into the ordained ministry. I became a pastor, and I was an associate pastor. And then I became the pastor of this congregation. That journey began 42 years ago. And after 42 years of ministry, God is calling Lori and me to a new place, to a new time, to a new way of walking worthy of the calling to which we have been called. As I look back over these 42 years, it is so evident that God has been with us every step of the way. That the plans He has had for us have been plans for our good. And we have every confident hope because of our faith that this next step will be equally blessed by a good and loving God. That it will be blessed in our lives as we eventually leave here and move down to Texas to be with family. And that it'll be with you as you continue the journey of being the church of Jesus Christ, taking good care of the gift. And part of that is to continue to take good care of your pastor. As you have taken good care of me and Lori and our family over these last 18 years, I commend to you the next pastor, Pastor Nick, who will be an interim here for several months, and then the pastor to follow, that God is even now calling to this place, that you will care for them, that you will allow them to minister to you, and that you will allow them to grow with you and in your relationship with them, as you have been with me. Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. Be forbearing. And be united in the bonds of peace. And so may the love of God, the grace of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, here on earth, there is no greater blessing from a corporate or a community standpoint than to be united as the body of Christ, the family of faith, a pure and undeserved gift that you have given to us. We are not here by our will, by our decision, by our craftiness, by our creative energy. For if we were, we would be just another bunch of people getting together for whatever reason, even if that reason is religious. But we are here because you have called us in your Son, Jesus Christ, first individually, to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to place our lives in His hands. And having done so by faith, you have called us together as a community, and you have called us to walk worthy of that community life. I give you praise and honor, Heavenly Father, for how you have walked with us these past 18 years together. And I know that you will continue to walk with this congregation and with their new pastor. You will continue to bless them. You will continue to use them for your glory as they serve one another, as they serve this community, as they serve in the world, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless them, Lord, I pray. And may they know that this wonderful, amazing gift they have been given, the gift of God, this church, is for them the very best thing that they can be a part of in this world. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the ways in which you bless us. And may we continue to be people who humbly, thankfully, and gratefully walk worthy of the call to which we have been called. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.